Is that on now? Okay. Do I have enough volume? Can you hear me? Cool. I think International Baptist Church is a fantastic church. I'm so glad to be a part of this church. I'm so glad to have been here as long as I have. You know, often you hear stories about people who grew up going to church when they were little kids and they just hated it. They found it boring and their mothers had to fight them to get them to go to church. Anybody familiar with that kind of a story? Me and Michael only. Hey, it happens all the time. I run into people like that all the time. Yesterday, I was talking to Charlie, my little boy, 6 years old, and he every night he asked, "What's tomorrow? Is it school day? Is it play day? Or is it church day?" I said, "Tomorrow, Charlie, is church day." And he goes, "Yes!" And I don't know. That touches my heart when I hear young kids act that way when it's time to go to church. And, you know, that's just God's goodness. Testimony of God. We got some neat things coming up. Next week, we're finishing up our 5 points of vision today, okay? But next week, what I want to do, I've already got this thing made up. I got a rather large poster like this size, okay? On that poster has spelled out the church vision. The 5 points, L-I-V-E-S, transforming lives. What are the 5 points, L? Thank you, Casey. What else? I, infectious love. V, vi, and E, and S, service. Today we're on service. Next week, I got this poster. What I'm wanting to challenge every one of us to do. If you take a look at this vision and you've been challenged by this vision and you say, "I want this to be mine as well," we're going to have a time, we'll put this in the back, and everyone is invited, that's a part of this church, invited to put your name on that vision. We're going to leave that out for a couple of weeks to make sure people get their chance to put their John Henry on it. And then we're going to get that thing framed up, put it in our lobby. I think it'll be a fantastic reminder of why it is that we are here. I don't have it on overhead, but the purpose statement of IBC that we've come up with is anybody know it? Transforming lives through message of... Okay, transforming lives through Christ's message of forgiveness, past, purpose, present, and hope for the future. All right? I think that pretty much sums it up. It's about transforming lives. I'm so excited about this vision, I want to tell you. I'm so excited about this vision that I did something silly this past week. And I ordered me some custom license plates. And on the custom license plates, you know what it says? Exactly. That says transforming lives. Well, the actual word is lives, but it says transforming lives on it. And I put the church name on the bottom. So now I have to be careful about how I drive on the road. And I'm not sure about that idea. I'll let Jennifer drive that car. I'll let Jennifer drive it. I preach messages before. Sometimes I have 2 points in my messages. Sometimes I have 3, 4, 5, even 6. And I've not done one with 12 points until this morning. 12 point message. Okay, so I got 12 points I want to share with you. Next week I'll make it up to you and I won't have any points. So it'll be a pointless message, all right? Next week is the pointless message. But today, 12 points. 12 reasons that I should share this vision of service. What is that vision of service? Let's take a look at that. The S in the acronym of LIVES stands for service. IBC is to be a place of service. Let's go ahead and put that on, please. The first part. Would you go ahead and read this with me? God has called all Christians to be serving Christians. Therefore, the idea of IBC's membership involved in ministry is not only encouraged, but expected. We are not just in ministry on Sundays, but we are to be ministers in the truest sense throughout the week. Next part. Is it on there? Oh, wow. Okay, let's do the next part. Sorry. We will promote even membership at IBC to serve the Lord and His church in one form or another. This service is not just for singers, teachers, and ushers, but for all believers as we recognize the diversity of gifts within the body of Christ. This is the kind of vision of service that we want to see at IBC. Not just encourage ministry, but it's expected. Christians are ministers. That's what we do. I want to ask you, what is the secret of greatness? What is the secret of greatness? The answer you get will depend on who you ask. You ask Hollywood people, what is the secret of greatness? And they'll say, man, it's fame and winning an Oscar. These things are what is the most greatest thing in the world. You ask business people, and they may say it's a large portfolio and financial success. God says, my definition of greatness is something that's very different. God says that none of those things are going to last. You're not going to remember them. 100 years from now, nobody will care how much money you made. Do you understand that? Put that into perspective. Nobody will care. It's not going to leave a big impact. None of those things are going to last. God says there is something that's going to last, though. And that is a life of service. A life of service. Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus called them together, the disciples, the apostles. And He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be great. He says that two things go together. Leadership and servanthood. They go together. They're not exclusive. They're not two separate things. Biblical leadership is servanthood. We understand this. Great teachers serve their students. Good salespeople, they serve their customers. God wants us to be living lives of service to our people, to people around us. And in verse 28, He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Our model is Jesus Christ. We're to be servant leaders, just as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve. This summarizes the Christian life. My goal as a Christian, your goal as a Christian, is to be more like who? Christ. That's what Christian means. You know that? Christian means little Christs. Little Christs. You want to be like Christ? It comes through service. I may have a lot of doctrine. I may have a lot of thoughts and ideas in my head. But I'm not really a believer unless I learn to serve and learn how to give of myself to others. So today, 12 reasons. 12 reasons I should share this vision of service. This vision of International Baptist Church of service. Number one is this. I was created for service. You were created for service. God made me for a purpose. I was designed for it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you were created for what? For service. These works. You were created for this. God designed everything on this earth for a purpose. Everything on the earth has a purpose. I feel like I'm yelling. Can I have this up just a little bit more? Okay. God designed everything for a purpose. He made doggies. And what do dogs do? Doggy things. We have a stupid dog at home named Amy. Is Amy here in the present? You know, I want all of you who are named Amy in the auditorium today to know we got the dog when she was 4 years old. And she was already called Amy. I brought her home, and then Amy Wong came over to our house, and she says, "It's what? Name what?" You know, I'm like, "I didn't name the dog." But Amy, you know, she's a terrible dog. And she gets into the rubbish all the time, tears it up. No matter how much you yell, no matter how much you go off, she'll do it again next time. First opportunity she gets. She messes. She does terrible things. Why? She's a dog. Okay? If I wanted another person, I should have... Well, I don't want to have another person. But she's a dog. They do dog things. Cows. They do cowly kind of things. Bees. They do things that bees do. God says that you were put on this earth for a reason. He says that reason is to serve. To serve. Human beings are put here to help make this world a better place. God says, "I created you for ministry. I made you. I designed you for service." The other day, I got a flashlight out and it would not work. I hadn't used it for a long time. I undid it. And I took the batteries out, and you know what the batteries look like? Have you ever seen batteries that were in objects that were not used for so long? They were corroded, and there were some. They were expanded a bit, and there was some acid dripping out. It was really a nasty sight. Why? Because they were made to be used, not to sit plugged in doing nothing. You were made for service, not to sit, get plugged in, and do nothing. You were made for service. Human beings were made for service. When we're not used in serving people, we get corroded, we get ruined on the inside. You were created for service. Number two, I am saved for service. I'm saved for service. 2 Timothy 1:9, God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. His own purpose and grace. He called us for a purpose. Whose purpose? God's purpose. He's called us to His purpose. He didn't call us to sit back and say, "My, isn't it wonderful being a Christian? Isn't it great? We're saved now. We don't have to worry about anything. We have eternal life. Isn't it fantastic?" He didn't call us just to sit around talking about how wonderful it is to be saved. When you see the word servant, by the way, it's the same word for minister. Servant and minister go together. You're not here just to sit around, watch TV, go to work, come home, and continue through the motions until you die. That's not why God put you here. You ever wondered why God didn't just call you home the moment you trusted Jesus to be your Savior? Wouldn't that be great? Okay, Lord, today I trust You as my Lord, as my Savior, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. And He does, and boom, you're in heaven now. You ever wonder why that didn't happen? You ever wish that happened? Some of you probably do. That's because He has a purpose and a work for you to do. He made you to minister to other people's needs. I was watching a talk show at one time a while back, and they had on the show a big bodybuilder, a guy with huge muscles, and he was a competitor. And he'd go out in front of the audience and he'd flex his muscles and all the crowd would cheer and go crazy. And he would flex his muscles again and the crowd would go crazy and cheer again. And the talk show host though kept saying, "Yes, but what do you use the muscles for?" And he'd get up and he'd flex and the crowd would go crazy. "Yes, but do you use them for anything?" And this kept going on and on, and the host was, you know, wondering why would he spend so much time just developing muscles and they were used for nothing. But let me ask you, why do you build spiritual muscle? Why do you come to church? Why do you read the Bible? Why are you in Bible studies or life groups? Why do you pray? Are you just developing them to show off and to flex and make people go crazy? Or are you wanting to put them to some use and serve and be involved in ministry? God designed you. He made you for ministry. You're saved for service, for ministry. Number three, I've been called by God to service. Not only that, but you were made, you were designed, you were saved, and He's called you to service now. This phrase, God's call. You know, I used to think it was just a mysterious thing. Only certain people get called to ministry. You're walking along the road and all of a sudden a lightning bolt kind of experience strikes you. And you know, oh man, I'm called to ministry. Let me tell you something. When you're saved, God calls you to ministry. I recently filled out some forms that were required. And one of the questions is, what is your occupation and your place of employment? And of course, I put down a minister at International Baptist Church. Minister at International Baptist Church. But then I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? God's called us all to be ministers together. Do you understand that? Not everybody to be a pastor, but everybody to be a minister. We ought to all have church business cards made up and in which, you know, has your name. Underneath it says minister. Because that's what you are. That's what you are. That's what God's made you to be. He's called you. He's called you to ministry. The moment you signed up, the moment you said, yes, you know, Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior. I want my sins forgiven. I want eternal life. The moment you did that, you also said, I am willing to serve you with the rest of my life. It's indistinguishable. Every Christian is called to serve. Every Christian is called to be a minister. Number four, I need to share this vision of service because I've been gifted for service. Gifted. God says you're gifted for service. God says that the Spirit gifts you. You have been given a gift to use, not on yourself, but in service to other people. He gave you those abilities. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us each one should use whatever gift he has received to, what's the words? Serve what? Others. That's a big difference, okay? You can serve yourself or you can serve others. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Does it say each one should use whatever gift he has received to make a lot of money for himself? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Hey, listen. You know, God bless you. If your gift happens to bless you with making some money too, but He says He's given you that gift for use in serving others. Service for a Christian is not optional. A non-ministering Christian is a contradiction in terms. You cannot be a non-ministering Christian. The truth is this, human nature does not want to serve other people. Human nature says, I want to be served. Says, always focus on who is going to serve me. Who's going to meet my needs? Who's going to help me? Who's going to help my hurts? Who's going to help me? This is human nature. A Christian, God begins to change some of these things around. Do you know what you begin to ask? You begin to ask, whose needs can I meet? Whose needs can I meet? Who can I help? Who can I serve? Whose needs can I begin to meet? A mature Christian is interested in service. An immature Christian is interested in serving me. Number six. Why should I share this vision of service? Because it proves that I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. Romans 7:4. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. From what I've read, in the early New Testament church, when a new believer came, when a new person came and trusted Christ as their Savior, the church would welcome them into their group. And they would say, "Welcome. Jesus Christ now has a new pair of eyes to see with. Jesus Christ now has a new pair of hands to help others. Jesus Christ now has a new heart to love others with. Because you are now part of the body." What an awesome way to greet new people into the fold. Jesus Christ now has a new set of hands to help people with, to serve people with. A new pair of eyes to see people. And a new heart to love people with. Over and over again, last week I mentioned that the church is called the body of Christ. More often than any other comparison, it's referred to as a body. It's a body. And you are a part of that body. And your service is proof that you belong to Christ. Ministry, not attendance, is evidence that Christ is in you. Did you hear what I said? Ministry, not attendance, is evidence that Christ is in you. And the Bible says that one of the purposes of pastors in a church is to help you get ready for your ministry in life. Is to help you get ready for your ministry. Number 7, my church family needs my service. It's needed, it's necessary, but it's also needed. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the what? The body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are necessary. What happens in your life when a part of your body stops functioning? You get sick. You get really sick. If you're a Christian, that means that you are a part of the body of Christ. If you're not functioning as a Christian, that makes the rest of the body not well, not working correctly. What if one day you got a phone call from your liver, and your liver basically said, "You know, I'm not gonna work today. I'm not coming in today. I don't feel like functioning this year. In fact, I just want to sit back, take it easy, and get fed this year." What would your response be? You'd say, "What kind of liver are you? Get back to work. The body needs you. I can't function without you." You are part of the body of Christ too. Your church family needs your service. Number 8. Serving others is the way to serve God. This is important. In Matthew 25, Jesus makes the statement at the end of telling a story. He says, "The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" Jesus says, whatever you do for others, you're doing for me. You give somebody a drink of water in my name, you're doing it for me. You help somebody in my name, you're doing it for me. You want to serve God? You need to be serving other people. If you're not serving others, you're really not serving God either. Because He's told us to go and serve others. Number 9. Why should I share this vision of service? Because I owe everything to Christ. I owe everything to Christ. Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Christ sacrificed His life for me to give me eternal life. Even if He did nothing else in my life, nothing else in my life, for the rest of my life, I owe Him my life. I owe Him my service. I owe Him my eternal gratitude and debt for giving me eternal life. Even if nothing else was done, no more blessings, no more leading, nothing. If he did nothing else from now on, I owe him my life of service. And so do you. Do you understand and appreciate what Christ did for you? Christians, let me tell you, a lot of Christians have this Santa Claus mentality of God. Santa Claus mentality. They make out their wish list and they pray it to him and say, God, I need this. God, help me with this. God, I need more money. God, I need a better house. God, I need a better job. God, and the list goes on. Let me tell you, we owe God a life of service. I beseech you, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of what He has done for you, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. But I want to tell you, I don't serve God out of duty, and I don't want you to serve God out of duty. I don't serve God out of fear. I don't serve God out of some kind of a guilt. I don't serve God out of anger. I serve God out of gratitude. I serve God out of love. I serve God because He saved my life. I'm going to live forever in eternity with Him. My sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. Are your sins forgiven? Do you have that same knowledge, that same assurance that you know where you're going for eternity? That you have a relationship with God, that your sins are forgiven? Is that what motivates your Christian walk and your life and your service? That needs to be your motivator. Why should I share this vision of service? Number 10, because service makes life meaningful. It makes life meaningful. Jesus said it like this in Mark 8:34. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. The truth is, you're going to give your life away to something. You're going to give your life away to something. Some people spend their whole life on a career. They give their whole life to a company. And at the end of giving their whole life to a company, they give them a gold watch and say, that was great, thank you. Big deal! What kind of return is that on your investment of your life? What kind of return is that? Jesus says the things that you do for Him will be remembered for all eternity. The things that we do for Him will have eternal significance. Have eternal significance. But you're going to give away your life to something. Some people give their life away to a big bank account. It's going to be something. Everybody I know seems to be trying to figure out how to live longer. How to live longer. But the truth is, that's not the real issue. It's not just how long you live, but it's really how you live that matters. How you live, that matters. I'd rather live 35 years serving God than 100 years serving myself. Jesus lived 33 years. 33 years. But He did what God put Him here to do. And what an awesome work He did. 33 years. When people live for themselves, they eventually get really bored with it, and they become unfulfilled with it. On the other hand, when you know God's plan for your life, and you start by saying, God, I don't know it all yet, but I'm going to start serving You in whatever way You want me to serve You. I'm going to serve You in some simple way. Just giving back a part of my life. Giving it back to You in service. It brings satisfaction. It brings fulfillment. And it brings significance. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Always give yourself to the work of God. Always give yourself to His service. Because you know that the things that you're doing is not in vain. It's not vanity. It's not pointless. It's not worthless. It has a reason. It has purpose. And it has eternal significance. Can you say that about anything else that you do in your life? Can you say this verse about anything else that you do in your life? Number 11, I will be held accountable for my service. One day, we are going to stand before God. Now, right now I'm speaking to you as a Christian, okay? As a believer, as a Christian. We are going to stand before God. Not because God is going to point to us and judge us and say, were you good enough to get to heaven? And He takes a look at your life, measures it out, and says, yeah, that's close enough, we'll let you in. That's not the purpose. But He is going to come and He's going to say, what did you do with the things that I gave you? What did you do with them? That talent that I gave you, the abilities that I've given you, did you use it to help other people? Did you use it to help people or did you use it on yourself? What did you do with it? What are you going to say to God? Are you going to stand before God and say, I'm sorry, God. I was really, really busy. A lot was demanded of me. I had some plans. I had some goals that I thought would be really good for me to do. And I never got much time to get around to doing your plan. I was just too busy to really have a ministry. I was too busy to serve. Let me tell you something. If you're too busy to find God's plan and purpose for your life, you're too busy. You're too busy. If you're too busy to do what God wants you to do, you're too busy. You're putting so much effort and emphasis on the wrong things. On the wrong things. There are things that we must do, absolutely. But first and foremost, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I will be held accountable to God. I want to be able to stand before God. I don't know about you. I want to be able to stand before God and be able, like Paul, to say, I ran the race. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I did what God put in my life to do. That's what I want to be able to stand before God and say. And I want to hear from Him some words. You know what words I want to hear from God more than anything? What was that? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear from God. Finally, number 12. Because I will be rewarded for God. I will be rewarded for eternity. In John 12:26, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Jesus says, my Father is going to honor the one who serves me. The one who does the work and the purpose that I put them on the earth to do. My Father is going to honor them. There's a party being planned. And this party is going to last a long time. This party is going to take place in heaven. It's going to be last for eternity. It's going to last forever. And God is the rewarder. And the work that you're doing now will all be worth it. The pain and the hurt and the suffering and the trials that you face right now will seem insignificant. It will seem insignificant in eternity at this party in heaven. Think of what is the worst thing that people can do to you here on earth. The thing that tears people up the most, the thing that hurts them the most, the thing that just drives them down. Think of the worst things that can happen to you. And what is that compared to eternity with God in heaven? What is that? Paul refers to these things as our light and momentary afflictions. Light and momentary afflictions. Now listen to me, I don't want to minimize anybody's hurt, anybody's pain. God knows your hurt, He knows your pain, and He cares about you. But we have to keep in focus eternity. We have to keep in focus the grand scale of things and not just focus on our present time right now. our present troubles. Keep eternity in mind. This reward is going to last forever. Why should you share in this vision? Number one, created for service. Would you take a look at your papers? And I want to ask you to say these points with me. 12 points. Why should I share this vision of service with the church and with God? Number one, I was created for service. Number two, I am saved for service. Three, I have been called by God to service. Four, five, I am commanded to serve others. Six, seven, my church family needs my service. Eight, serving others is the way to serve God. Nine, because I owe everything to Christ. 10, because service makes my life meaningful. 11, I will be held accountable for my service. And 12, because I will be rewarded for eternity. Now the question is this. You've been challenged today with 12 reasons that you should share this vision of service. Now the question is, what are you now going to do about it? Are you going to leave here saying, that was nice? Or are you going to leave here with a renewed commitment in your heart to say, God, I am pursuing You. I'm going to pursue Your purpose and Your plan and Your will for my life with all I have. What are you going to do? First, I want to first urge you to make this vision your vision. Next week, after the service, when we have that poster of the church vision, I want you to signify that you are making this your vision by putting your name on that. By putting your name on that. And for us to be able to see that in the future to come, they're a part of this vision of service. They're a part of this church vision here. I want to encourage you to put your name on it. There's a few things that are changing around the church. We've done some painting. We're updating. We're putting some new looks on some things. It's all part of this. And I think it's exciting and necessary at this stage. I really do. The church logo thing is going to be changing too. I want you to see that. I want you to see it next week. No longer the guy in front of the train coming down the tracks, okay? It's going to be something. It's going to be something significant. It's going to be ours, and I'm excited about it. And I want you to share in that. But I want you to share this vision. Reread this vision of what kind of a church IBC is to be. It's to be a church of life, infectious love, of vibrant growth of the members, of evangelism, never forsaking the gospel of Christ, and of service. Put pen to paper and put your name on that too. And secondly, I urge you to give yourself to God for service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Do it formally. Don't just sit there and say, yeah, okay, I'll do that, God, yep. I encourage you today, do it formally. Make a point. When we do the invitation time, step out of your seat. I don't care if people see you. That's even better. Step out from where you are and say, God, come and talk to God. God, today I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice to You. And I don't care who knows it. I'm making this statement. Pray with somebody. Talk to them about that. But give yourself fully to God and for His service. Get yourself a little business card that says, my name is Ken Young, minister. Don't put Ken Young on yours though, okay? Put your name on it and acknowledge, I'm a minister. But you say, well, I'm a school teacher. No, you're a minister disguised as a school teacher. I'm a plumber. No, you're a minister of Christ and you're working as a plumber. But you are first and foremost a minister. You must put God's purpose first in your life. And finally, do you know that you have life? Do you know you have eternal life? Do you have that freedom that comes with forgiveness. Knowing that the past, perhaps that haunts you, has been dealt with. It has the blood of Christ, His sacrifice for our sins, all of mankind. It's been applied to you. And you have forgiveness now. Do you have that security? Or are you hoping that you're doing good enough? You're turning over a new leaf. You're going to church. You're praying. You're reading your Bible. Listen, these things are wonderful things to do. But that is not what I'm talking about. That is not salvation. That is not eternal life. Those things can lead you in the right direction, but the thing that we need to look at is Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Do you have that? Or do you have some kind of a mankind religion? What do you have? If you don't know for sure, I ask you also when we have invitation to come to speak to somebody, to take me or one of the other men or ladies by the hand and say, I need to talk about this. Christian, I urge you to present your body's living sacrifice to God. Present yourself in service to Him. Make it formal to Him. Give it to Him. He's the one that's watching. He's the one that we're talking about right now. And everybody, church, make this vision your vision. Make this vision of service where God has called us all to service. And it's not only encouraged, but it's expected. And God has gifted us for service. And you're going to use your gifts in serving Him and serving other people. Make that your vision. Would you stand with me?